time. So, let me start by asking, what do you think about when I say supper time? I remember as a kid, my mom had this big old honking cowbell. And we lived outside of Massillon in the country, if you will. And so we had this dead end right next to our house where there was basically it was a path up to the farmer's place. And so we'd be out on our bikes or out hiding in the corn or whatever. And all of a sudden we'd hear that dong, 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 then that big old clang of the cowbell. You ever heard a cowbell before, some of you? Oh, yeah. It really helps when you're trying to gather them in for feed and milking in the morning. And but she'd bang that bell until we finally showed up for supper. And that when I think about supper time, I think about Mom calling us in with that cowbell. But I want us to look at a very famous supper time this morning. It's the miracle that Jesus performed when he fed the 5,000. The four Gospels record more than 35 miracles, but apart from Jesus' resurrection, feeding the 5,000 is the only one mentioned by all four. Did you know? Yeah. The fact that this miracle makes it into both Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John kind of says something to it. It indicates a special significance. And especially when you consider that John's the only one who mentions the resurrection of Lazarus. Did you know that? Yeah, I mean, let's take a look at this feeding of the 5,000 as told by John's gospel and consider what makes this miracle so significant. Why is it important? Because I believe we're going to find that it is a foreshadowing of things to come. So let's take a look. It'll be on the screen. As evening approached, the disciples came to him being Jesus, and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." And Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." You ever looked at a crowd of 5,000 men plus women and children and decided you were going to feed them? Yeah, you'd better have a large crock pot for that. So anyhow, Jesus said, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." "Well, we have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Well, bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke the bread, the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples then gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. And the number of those who ate was about 5,000 men besides women and children. Take a look at this screen.
After this, Jesus went across Lake Galilee, or Lake Tiberias, as it is also called. A large crowd followed him because they had seen his miracles of healing the sick. Jesus went up a hill and sat down with his disciples. The time for the Passover festival was near. Jesus looked around and saw that a large crowd was coming to him.
Where can we buy enough food to feed all these people?
He said this to test Philip. Actually, he already knew what he would do.
For everyone to have even a little, it would take more than 200 silver coins to buy enough bread.
Another one of his disciples, Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother, said,
There is a boy here who has 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 fish. But they will certainly not be enough for all these people.
Make the people sit down.
There was a lot of grass there, so all the people sat down. There were about 5,000 men. Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to God, and distributed to the people who were sitting there. Did the same with the fish. And they all had as much as they wanted. When they were all full, he said to his disciples,
Gather the pieces left over. Let us not waste a bit.
So they gathered them all and filled 12 baskets with the pieces left over from the 5 barley loaves which the people had eaten. Seeing this miracle that Jesus had performed, the people there said, Surely this is the prophet who was to come into the world. Jesus knew that they were about to come and seize him in order to make him king by force, so he went off again to the hills by himself.
You know, there's more than one miracle going on there, right? Where did the baskets come from? How many baskets does it take to take enough bread and fish out to a crowd of 5,000 men plus the women and children? Just saying, things that make you go, yeah. But the action there is he took the bread and he blessed the bread. He gave thanks for the bread. He broke it and then he gave it to his disciples, telling them to then go and spread the bread around, right? Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? I mean, on the night that Jesus was to be betrayed, he gathered in an upper room with his disciples. And there he took the bread, and he blessed the bread, and he broke the bread, and he said, This is my body, broken for you. Take of it and eat. And we know what happened the very next day. Jesus took his body. You all know that Jesus was called the bread of heaven, right? And he was born in a town called Bethlehem, which means house of bread. Yeah. I mean, this is just an amazing story. It has so many things that are interlinked within our faith. But we're to take his body that has been blessed, that has been allowed to be broken, that he gave to us, we're to take it forth from here. I mean, that's what we call the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Go out and make disciples. He did all this that we might be free. Free to not sin. free to forgive. Still working on that forgiveness thing, that whole forgiveness thing. It's difficult at times. Can I get an amen? It doesn't mean it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. But we don't want to miss this. In feeding the 5,000, he took the bread, he blessed the bread, he broke the bread, and he gave the bread to his disciples, who in turn then went and shared it with other people. Yeah. We are his disciples, and each of us, every time we come to this table of communion, we're reminded to take it to a lost and dying world. It's called the Great Commission. Always comes from our participation in the Great Thanksgiving. Have you ever called or heard a communion called Eucharist before? The Eucharist? You know what that means? It means the Great Thanksgiving. We're coming up on a weekend where a lot of us are going to be having a great Thanksgiving with family and friends. But we have to remember that the whole reason for the Great Thanksgiving is so that we can share it with others. So, as we approach this coming week, what comes to your mind when I say supper time? Supper time as a kid was that cowbell that called us home. We'd get there, and Mom, of course, would say, smaller bites. And of course, the dreaded, eat your vegetables, right? To leave the table, we had to ask, can I be excused? Yeah. As a kid, I never thought much about what those words really meant. Excused, as in, pardon me. Can I be pardoned? This coming video begs us to consider what supper time means and how one little boy saw it. Turn your attention again to the slide, and if you'll lower the lights.
It's called the Lord's Supper. And that always struck me a little funny. Nobody eats supper anymore. It's always dinner. What's for dinner? Let's go out for dinner. You know who used to call it supper? My mom, when I was a kid. It'd start getting late, the sun would be sliding down the horizon, and I'd be out riding. Not heading anywhere in particular.
Michael! Supper!
Well, that's when Mom would start calling. And I could stall, for a while. Take a couple more loops around the block.
Michael, supper!
So I'd head for the house, stash away my bike, and dash on in.
Michael, what have I told you about slamming the door?
Sorry, Mom.
Okay, go wash up for supper.
So I'd go and wash up. Sort of. I could zip those hands under the water without even getting them wet. And I'd go stomping back into the kitchen.
Wash them again.
Just did.
Let me see.
Well, I'd turn around and shuffle back to the bathroom without even showing her, because we both know what she'd see if she looked. This time I really scrubbed. And you know, standing there scrubbing, I could see what she meant. Those hands were dirty. Grease and dirt and mud. Just filthy. I liked it. But Mom didn't, so I scrubbed and I rinsed and I dried. And I ran back to the kitchen where Mom just wanted me to sit still and wait. I could be watching TV or playing video games. Who wants to sit and watch someone mash potatoes? Although Mom and I did get a lot talked about during those 5 minutes. She talked to me about my schoolwork, if I'd been nice to my sister, all that stuff about being kind and responsible. And watching her just moving around the kitchen, working so hard on supper, I could really feel her love for me. I guess that's where I began to understand that family supper time is important.
Hey, hon, how's dinner coming?
Sooner or later, everybody else showed up, and even though she wasn't quite done, Mom would sit down, and we could say the blessing.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this food. Thank you for providing for our family.
Dad's prayers were very real. We weren't just flying through some ritual before diving into the food. We were talking to God himself.
We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
So Dad would ask the Lord's blessing, and then he'd ask my mom to pass the fruit salad. Usually about then, I'd start reaching across for the rolls, which Mom always seemed to put on the far side of the table.
Okay, wait your turn.
So I waited, and passed the fruit salad and the potatoes and the green beans until finally those rolls came around. That was kind of tough for me, but you sort of figured out that everyone else was hungry too, and no one's going to let you starve. Well, finally we got to eat, and it was worth the wait. Mom put everything she had into her cooking. You could taste it, although it's surprising I could taste anything slamming down those huge mouthfuls so I could get to tonight's TV show.
I need smaller bites. Chew and swallow.
So I'd slow down a little, and I could see that Mom and Dad had lots to catch up on, so I'd chug down my milk and gasp those all-important words.
May I have your excuse, please?
Yes, you may.
And I'd be free. So that's what I think of when I hear the word supper. Someone who wants me to come home. To wash up. To enjoy being clean more than I enjoy being dirty. Someone who wants me to sit just for a little while and think about my life, how much I'm loved. Some quiet, serious prayer. Passing plates so others can be filled too. Small bites and careful thinking. And those all-important words. May I be excused? And the awesome resonance of the answer. Yes, you may. And being free.
Hear the word of God from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to begin in verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So then, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment unto themselves. So we're going to take a few moments here. I'm going to ask you to just silently do business with God. Examine yourself that we might come to the table in a worthy manner today. Let's do so. Amen. Isn't it awesome knowing that we've just asked, "Can I be excused?" And I hope you felt the resounding answer of yes, you are pardoned because of the blood that was shed for us and the body that was offered for us. So let us together remember that night when Jesus gathered with his disciples and he took the bread. And he blessed the bread. And then he tore the bread. He broke it. He said, "This is my body broken for you. Take of it and eat in remembrance of me." And then likewise, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, He said, this is the cup of the new covenant. My blood shed for the forgiveness of your sin. Yes, you may be excused. Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, make these elements, these sacrament, to be for us your body broken for us. May this be your blood shed for us that we might always remember. Thank you that we can be excused. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask our ushers to come at this time to distribute the elements of bread and juice. And let's just continue with an attitude of gratitude, but also with some just the reverence that I can sense in this room right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have fed us in this sacrament. Lord, let us remember that last step after taking the bread and blessing the bread and breaking the bread and giving it unto us, that now we are to take it to others. Thank you for that opportunity. Lord, find us faithful to it. For we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. So, as we have participated in the great Thanksgiving, we're now coming to the preparations for the Thanksgiving day that lies before us. Is anybody doing any cooking this week? Okay, keep your hands up for a minute because I'm coming over. I've got to make mashed potatoes for 30-ish people. So I appreciate your prayers on that regard. But, you know, how are we going to do that this weekend and make it holy? Make it a time of a holy time with our families, with our friends, with some of Catherine's pumpkin pie. Are you did make pie this year, Catherine? Oh, I'm still coming over, so. All right. Okay, so when Thanksgiving dinner is over, besides wanting to fall asleep from the tryptophan that's in the turkey, what do? We normally groan, probably, and say, I'm full. And yes, our bellies are full, but if we've approached the day with thanks, we also have to admit that we are thankful, right? Yeah. Corinthians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one family, one body, you are called to peace, and be, let me hear it, and be thankful. Yeah. Full of thanks. So for what will you be filled with thanks for this Thanksgiving? How will you help your family to make Thanksgiving not only a great family day, but also a spiritual experience? Please give that some thought as you approach the day. How will you get to be full, not only of food, but of Thanksgiving? Turn your attention to the screen, if you would.
Nana, are you full?
I'm as full as my purse! Becky, are you full?
You know it, G-Ma. Full does not describe the sheer amount of fullness I'm feeling right now. Billy, what about you?
I'm super full.
Hey, it's Crazy Uncle Carl!
Hey, Billy!
Hey, Crazy Uncle Carl, are you full?
I'm crazy full! Hey, Scam, are you full? He's full. I'm fuller than a lobster boat on the moon.
I'm fuller than Mom when she breaks her low-carb diet.
I'm fuller than Hawaii and the three states underneath it.
I'm so full I need Mom's maternity pants. Hashtag oh snap.
I'm full in my whole body. How about you, Tom Selleck? I'm full.
I'm so full you're going to have to carry me out of here.
I'm as full as a ticket of blood bank.
I'm full.
I'm full.
I'm full.
Full.
Hashtag F-U-double-L.
I'm full.
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 I'm full.
Well, if everyone's full, let's eat.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so full of your joy, and full of your grace and your hope. Father, we're full of your peace and your love. And for that, we're thankful. Amen.
Amen.
come Thanksgiving, what will you be full of? Let it be thanksgiving and praise. Amen? Amen. As you're able, let us stand, and we will sing our final hymn.